Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis, and it is Tuesday, August 5th, 2008.
Today's show is episode 2.06, where we take a fantasy football analysis of defensive special teams and individual players. That's right, Jeffrey, IDPs.
IDIP?
That's right, IDIPs.
Okay.
Mike will explain what IDIPs are. Man, that just sounds nasty.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound like anything that you'd catch on vacation or something.
And he's also going to explain why his top five defensive teams are who they are. And we'll talk, obviously, about some defensive linemen, some linebackers, and some defensive backs all coming up.
Championships.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. All right, Jeffrey, fantasy football time is right around the corner. Our fantasy football leagues are in full force.
Yes, they are. They are filling rapidly, and we want to, again, thank the show donors because, man, I was floored. That
amazing.
First 24 hours that we sent out the email to tell people how to get into the leagues.
Yes.
We want to let everybody know that we're going to have 12 leagues this year.
Yes.
Steven and I will both be playing in six, and then Steven and I will each have three of our own.
That's right.
And two of mine are going to be IDP leagues.
No,
PPR. God, sorry.
Stop saying IDP because everybody's like, what is the IDP league?
No. PPR leagues because I've never played in one before. And so I thought it'd be fun to actually play in a couple of those.
And mine are just standard, traditional...
Straight up. Fantasy football, old school. And so that's really cool. That's coming along nicely.
When are we letting the masses, the other folks know? Tomorrow's show, the NFL show,
which
will come out Thursday. That'll give the show...
Yeah.
All right, so we will post a link out tomorrow and after we do our NFL show.
Yeah, so good. Check the website, NFLRANDR.com.
Or if you only listen to this show and you want to get in on playing against Jeffrey or myself, take a listen to tomorrow's episode of NFL Rants and Raves, where we'll talk about how you can join the fantasy football leagues.
Which, boy, tomorrow night we're covering the NFC North. I wonder what we're going to talk about.
Interesting. Well, we're not going to talk about that right now because we'll get into that with Mike Nazarek. I want to get his take, but I'm pretty sure his take is going to be involved in saying that, so long, Green Bay.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah, they are making a huge mistake.
Colossal blunders.
Now, there is a reason why NFL Rants and Raves, and to an extent now Fantasy Football Rants and Raves, got started. It started 4 years ago when the Minnesota Vikings traded away Randy Moss for virtually nothing.
Right.
That started this whole Rants and Raves business.
Because Steven could not contain himself. His outrage.
So... I'm.
They had this beautiful combination of
this reason here. This is the whole reason why Rats and Raves
it
exists, because the Packers are making a colossal mistake.
Colossus is the right at Six Flags.
Colossal.
Okay, colossal
mistake.
Yeah,
it's enormous.
No, it's ginormous.
It's times two, to infinity,
exponential plus one.
Man, I tell you, it is amazing, and come listen to that stuff tomorrow, because that's going to be some good stuff.
Bottom line to me is, do you like winning?
Yeah.
I always find winning preferable to losing.
Apparently not in Green Bay, so
but
that's
for fantasy
all we're
football
saying
owners,
there.
I know this. We like to win.
Yes,
and
we do.
And if we were as competitive as those guys, we'd be football players.
Yes, we would.
But we're not.
Field.
And we're crazy with fantasy football.
With a football.
So it's like, yeah, we don't even, we just crunch numbers on a computer and we're
today,
crazy.
And today in this episode, you're going to find out a little bit about how craziness fantasy football has gotten when we talk about IDP leagues, the individual defensive player leagues, where you don't just draft individual offensive players. You get individual defensive players and you pretty much have quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end, kicker, defensive lineman, defensive backs, linebackers. You got a whole team.
Can you get a ball boy?
The only guy you do not have is a punter. And I'm pretty sure there's leagues out there that include punters.
Well, sure they would.
But I don't know how you'd score them.
But do you get a ball boy? Huh?
But do you get a ball boy?
Huh?
No ball boy for you. Anything else we want to talk about before we bring in the mastermind?
No, because whenever I have any doubts, I think, what would Mike say?
Well, let's get to him then.
The Mastermind Edge.
Out of the beautiful state of Nevada, Michael Nazarek, Fantasy Football Masterminds, ffmastermind.com. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine, as long as you don't mention Spark TV.
Wait. I have to interrupt you. I want to see how long we can go without actually mentioning his name.
He already said Spark TV.
I know.
Yeah.
I want to see if we can.
Half a second.
I know. I was going to time us and see how long we could talk about it.
A nanosecond.
Without talking about and using his name.
Home number?
Because we have a tradition, for those who only listen to the fantasy show, we have a tradition on NFL Rants and Raves that somebody often gets elevated because of their non-activity on the football field, but they get constant 24/7 coverage. They get nominated with Humnumba, which is my abbreviation
for... He who must not be named.
That's right. That's my abbreviation for he who must not be named. And that means you're getting a disproportionate amount of coverage given that you're not playing the game.
And there's one player right now who is dangerously close to that title.
That's right. His initials are BF.
There you go.
And you can add your own initial there at the end and start to make a different case out of it.
But now
we have to talk about it, obviously.
Thank you for coming on the show. And yes, Jeff, we do got to bring him up. There's a circus, literally a circus with animals and elephants and stuff in Green Bay. What do you know? And is he out of Green Bay?
For good.
Well, it's a Lions, Tigers, and Bears show, and then
oh my!
I don't know about Bears. Bears don't seem to be interested in them, but
they should.
And of course,
be.
The Vikings would love to have him, but no, he's not going to be a Packer anymore.
Hey, Michael,
he's not.
Yeah. Here's some news that you may not know, because I just caught it on the way over here. Kyle Orton is actually going to start a quarterback for the Bears this week.
That's what I heard.
Yes.
After Rex Grossman got booed during practice.
We just posted that news a little bit ago on the site.
That just cracks me up.
Right.
It's like, how supportive are we? But anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. I want you to guess who Humnumba currently is. Who our most recent Humnumba would be. So this is somebody who gets a disproportionate amount of press, given that they have no activity in the NFL. Drumroll, please.
You want me to guess? No activity in the NFL?
Right.
Getting all this press?
None. Yeah, I gave
you
no press.
Say last season.
Last season. So it'd be last season.
Oh, from last season? Why?
Yeah.
There's one over there. Over in Dallas, you know, the girlfriend, Jessica.
Okay. You know what? She's a number
four. Three.
No. How do you say it with the pretty? It's always been a guy. It's always been a football player. It's always been a football player. And last season, it was Vic. It was Mike Vick.
Yeah, it was Mike Vick.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, there's Mike Vick.
Okay. And the year before that, it was T.O. because he wasn't playing, and he had been kicked off of the Philadelphia Eagles team.
And it was T.O.
TV
all the
time. That's all anyone wanted to talk about. And it's like, look, we'd like to talk about the NFL, not NFL.
Right. So back to the guy we don't want to talk about.
The current Humnumba.
What do you got to say about that? Yes.
Well, you know, they seemed to meet forever, he and Mike McCarthy, and they had a heart-to-heart, honest talk. And basically, I don't think that Brett Favre can forget or forgive, you know, what's been going on. The fact that there's been some half-truths and, according to him, some lies that have been said, you know, coming from the Packers organization that he kind of waffled back in back in the end of March and then again in May. And you know, and basically McCarthy saying that, you know, he's not at the same the mindset to be the Packers quarterback, and that they both agreed to that. So it's time to move on, guys, and that means that they went ahead and put Favre on the non-football injury list because he's got an abdominal strain. He's done. He's not going to practice. You'll never see Brett Favre in a Packer uniform ever again. It's kind of sad from that regard, but he's not going to retire. They're going to work a trade. And basically today, from what we're hearing, is that, you know, that the trade should happen here in the next day or two. Looks like it's going to be either Tampa Bay or the Jets, probably Tampa Bay. It's not going to be to Minnesota because the Packers don't want to trade him to win a division. And I really can't blame him because then his whole focus is going to be on beating the Packers and showing
Twice.
Them what idiots they were for doing this to him.
Twice.
Well, if he goes to Tampa Bay, he'll get a chance to do it week 4.
Right. And that's why you want to trade him to the AFC, where you only have to play him every 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's right.
But I guess it's more like the lesser of the evils. I mean,
right.
At least you're not in the same division, and you don't have to play them twice a year. And
at least they may not beat you in the playoffs.
There's going to be years where they won't play Tampa,
and they'll finish ahead of you in the standings.
Well, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that the commissioner has allowed the Green Bay Packers to basically hold him hostage this way. And I'm disappointed with the entire Green Bay organization. Really,
I'm disappointed with Brett as well.
I'm really not. The guy wants to play football.
He wanted to play football. They tried to push him out, and he allowed them to push him out, and then he changed his mind. And you know, he needs to. I don't know.
I think there is a lot of blame to be go around on
there
both
is.
Sides.
There really is. There's nobody that comes away from this squeaky clean. Brett has been. I saw an interview with him in 2005 that they aired today, since it is Brett Favre TV, that they aired, where basically he says, I'll be a Green Bay Packer as long as I want. And he actually says, no one's going to tell Brett Favre when it's time to go.
Well, they're telling
him. He talked about himself in the third person, which immediately puts you in my watch list of people whose egos may have grown disproportionate.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's like a godlike
ego.
It is.
And I get the sense, no matter how fierce a competitor is and how many wonderful memories he's brought people on the field, I don't get the sense that he's the neatest guy in the world. I mean, he's pretty stubborn, much of a butthead, just like most great quarterbacks were. You know?
I think the management and for the Green Bay Packers don't want to be told what to do, and they feel that he's trying to force their hands to accept them back. But you know what's interesting? I thought about this, and I said, you know how they could really kind of actually solve this, and probably for the best of the team and for getting the most talent on the field and all to win now, trade Aaron Rodgers. Bring back Brett Favre. Make him start. You got Brian Brohm there as the backup. Develop him. Get what you can for Aaron Rodgers, and then ride far for another year or two. You know, I mean, that's going to make everybody happy. But see, Packers already made the decision to move forward, and they don't want to be told that, you know, what to do in this area. And I think the fact that Brett has kind of waffled or not committed, kind of gone back and forth in both sides, that's the reason why I think this thing has really gotten ugly.
Mike, I want to ask, what's that exact quote that that the coach gave? That his mindset is not what it should be? Is that
he said that basically Brett's not of a mindset to be the Packers quarterback.
Now, exactly what does that mean? Because what I understand of Brett Favre, and again, I know it may sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I'm not. I'm saying that Brett Favre shares some of the culpability in this. However, what mindset does it take to be the Green Bay Packers quarterback, except for a lion who wants to win?
Well, what Mike McCarthy wanted to hear
was,
Brett, do you want to be the Packers quarterback, or do you want to be a starting quarterback in the league?
And Brett's answer was, I want to
win. Go ahead.
Well, no, Brett's answer is very simply, I want to play football, and I want to win.
And I think that's not what they wanted to hear.
Well, nobody, I mean, I'm sorry, sort of short of Tommy Lasorda, okay, and maybe Babe Ruth. I don't know an individual, okay, and Hare, Al Davis. I don't know of individuals who bleed their team, okay? They love their team. They will do anything for their team short of selling their souls. But at the bottom line, they are athletes who want to win.
Well, I think in this regard, you're probably right in that looking at it like that.
He
I think the Packers are trying to
Packers
use this
green?
As a reason to move forward and to trade him.
That's crap. Well, it's a BS reason, just like everything else, and it'll be backtracked and retracted at least 10 more times.
That's all right.
Well, I tell you, it's going to get even worse for the organization if Aaron Rodgers gets on the field in the first 3 weeks of the season
and
lays an egg, and the Packers go 0-3. Then, I mean, the fans are just going to be clamoring, going, "Why did you do this to us?
Exactly.
Why didn't you just take Brett back?
Yep.
And why didn't you just keep Aaron Rodgers on the bench or trade Aaron Rodgers? I don't understand.
This is something,
I don't understand that.
This is something that could haunt them
for decades.
For a long time. And
for a long time, think about Dan Marino when he retired. I mean, what?
Miami has not recovered.
Isn't Miami still looking for a quarterback?
Last I checked.
Yeah, it's Josh McCown on the depth chart as number one, by
Woo-hoo!
The way.
Woo-hoo! Josh McCown. We're all excited.
Yeah, he's going to replace
Mr. Henney had the most of the stats with the first team this last three practices, and they're talking about that because Sperano's not been doing that with any of the quarterbacks, so I think that they're just giving him an extended look. But anything that happens like that, I mean, if people start talking about is he going to be the starter? Is that we going to have a rookie starter this year? And then, you know, what about Beck? Well, Beck wasn't drafted. You know, Parcells wasn't there when they drafted Beck, so I think Beck's the odd man out.
I don't understand that about Bill. It's like, because I wasn't here when you were picked means that you're worthless.
Well, what it is that if he didn't buy the groceries, then the groceries have expired.
Then he ain't doing the cookie. And the groceries have gone bad.
He's going to throw the groceries away.
Now, I've got broccoli in the fridge right now that's going bad, okay? I know it is because of the brown color on it. But, you know, that's my fault that I let it go bad. I should have used it before it went bad.
That is
true. Bill Parcells should come in and at least evaluate.
I think he did. He saw the dude throw one pass and like, all right,
you're good.
Next. Let's
he
move
saw him
on.
Play at the end of last year in the film and go, uh-uh.
Yeah, I don't like what I see.
The point of our special meeting tonight, however.
Let's move on. There's a quick other notes before we get to the defenses and the special teams and the individual defensive players.
It did.
A few more NFL notes quickly. Steve Smith was suspended by the Carolina Panthers for 2 games. That's regular season games. What does that do to his value real quick in fantasy football?
Well, Steve had an argument on the field with Ken Lucas, the cornerback, and he was on his knees. And they were on the sidelines.
He ended up unconscious.
The only way to say this, is that he sucker punched him a couple of times before the teammates could get him off there. And I give the Panthers credit in that this is not the first time this happened. He slugged another guy in the film room back in 2002, he was suspended 1 game there, so he gets 2 games here. Obviously, this is going to downgrade Smith's fantasy value from a third-round pick maybe to a fifth-round pick.
Sure.
There's some value there. Depends on whether if he slides or not. But, you know, the fact here is that, fortunately, I guess, for the Panthers, that they seem to be closing rank, even though that there was a little bit rumor from Espen there that said that they might trade him over to the Cowboys, your team, Steven. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, Steven,
the owner loves.
Yeah.
Steven, have you and I ever been in an argument?
Yes, many times.
Has any of us either ended up unconscious or with broken noses?
No.
Huh.
I hope not.
Huh.
Well, interesting.
And we're family, okay? Yeah. I'm sorry, there's arguments and there's...
My question to you, Naz, why is the National Football League staying away from this incident? Because this
John
is
Fox
just,
is handling it.
This is just as bad tarnishing the image of the National Football League than someone getting caught off field. This was on the field during practice, and it's a stain on the league.
It happens every summer.
Broke a dude's nose. Well, the dude needs surgery.
No, but there's fighting that happens every single week.
I think what happened here, obviously, is that when this did happen, they pulled everybody off the field. They closed ranks. They didn't. The only two guys that were allowed to talk later in that day, they finished. I mean, they canceled practice at that point. Was Delhomme and Mushin Muhammad, the veteran receiver, and they basically said that John Fox and the team are handling this internally. Steve Smith apologized, and you can bet that there was a call directly from the team, probably from Mr. Richardson, the owner, right to Goodell, the commissioner, and saying, listen, we're going to handle this. There's going to be a suspension here, so let us do our thing here, and then if you feel that there might be something that's additionally needed, then of course Goodell could do that. And I think by not doing anything, he's probably basically saying that this is this is proper. The punishment fit the crime here. But I think that Steve Smith, this is the last chance with him in Carolina. If he does anything now, I mean, they're going to get rid of him.
Yeah. He's lost credibility in the locker room. I mean, as a leader on that team, as a captain on that team.
All right, one more.
He's a captain, too. That's right. That's what's kind of shocking about this. And, the defensive backs, they basically told the coaches, hey, if he's not suspended or done something, we're going to get our revenge on this guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Can't blame him.
One more suspension of a wide receiver, this time in Denver. Brandon Marshall gets suspended for 3 games. It'll be reduced to 2 games if he gets some counseling. Mike, what do you know?
Basically, this is about the same situation in fantasy terms as Steve Smith. Fortunately, Brandon's not going around hitting people, but but we don't know what else is going to crop up in terms of his run-ins with the law. But, you know, he's still got the DUI charge pending, and he's going to go to court in September for that. But basically, he drops from maybe from a third-round pick maybe to a fourth or fifth-round pick. Like I said, you can get value here. If you're in the right draft and he slips far enough, maybe to the end of the fifth, the sixth, and if you go wide receiver heavy to begin with, then maybe you can take a chance on Brandon Marshall for number two or number three wide receiver on your team. But, you know, basically you can rest assured that Mike Shanahan's going to, you know, hand walk him probably to the council and make sure that he attends the meetings and gets that suspension down to two, because that really does hurt their passing offense.
All right. And also it should be noted that don't get both of them, because you won't have a wide receiver the first 2 weeks.
Exactly.
That's right. And one of the expert leagues that I'm drafting in right now, there was one team that drafted Smith in the third and Marshall in the fourth.
Your first 2 weeks, you're pretty much going to be scratching and scraping.
Brilliant!
Not surprising that this guy also drafted, I believe, Brandon Stokely, like in the 13th round to cover him, because, you know, the Stokely's going to be starting. Daryl Jackson is tabbed right now to be the other starter while Brandon Marshall sits. And, of course, in Carolina, you're going to have Hackett and Muhammad that are going to start when Steve Smith's out.
Moosh and Muhammad and DJ Hackett. Nice.
Hackett.
All right. Well, we're here today to talk about defenses and IDPs. Real quickly, Naz, we've gone through this last season, but for all the new folks listening to a fantasy show, IDP, what does it stand for and what does it mean?
IDP is individual defensive players. There are some leagues out there, probably between 5% and 10% of the leagues out there. It's a little bit growing, and subscribership on my site here usually is around 4% or 5% of my subscribers, but they're very vocal about this. They want to play this game like it is on the football field. They want, well, fantasy players. We've got offensive players. I want defensive players too. They don't want to draft a team. They want to draft linebackers, defensive linemen, and DBs. And usually in a league, you'll have anywhere from 3 to 4 linemen, 3 to 4 linebackers, and 3 to 4 DBs, and then you start maybe 2 of each. And they'll get points based on tackles, assists, maybe, 5 points for, 5 or 6 tackles or whatnot, and maybe 2 or 3 points for 5 assists, a couple points, maybe 3 up to 3 for interception, return for a score, 6 and such. And so it does factor heavily into how you draft your team if you're drafting defensive players.
Okay.
Now, I got, since I've never played in an IDP league, and this year will be my first PPR league, which I'm very much looking forward to, and I wouldn't have without you. Thank you. At this point, you're welcome.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay, but I got a question. Now, the thing that about the standard way of playing fantasy football, where you focus on the skills positions, is that we know everything about the skills position players. We know when they toilet. We know what they had for breakfast. We know with whom they slept last night.
Wow, if you know that stuff, I'm a little scared right now.
Well, I'm just saying, with the media coverage, what it is, and the saturation, and as Jim Rome likes to point out,
the NFL is what makes this country go.
Yes, the NFL is what makes this country go, and it is growing and growing and growing. We're finding out more and more. How is it that we find out anything about these guys, and if they even practice that week, and how do we find out if we're going to if they're even going to start on a given week? I mean, obviously they're going to be on the injury reports that come out on Thursday.
Things have gotten much better in that regard, because there's a lot of blogs, a lot of the newspapers and the insiders and, ESPN, they're blogging all the teams now. And so when they blog, they watch the practice, and then they cover not just the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers, tight ends. They cover the defensive linemen, the linebackers, the DBs. They talk about certain players moving from safety to cornerback. How does that affect, whether he's going to get more tackles or make more bigger plays? And then obviously if you're looking at like linebackers, you want to know and have to know whether the team has gone to a 3-4 defense or a 4-3 defense. Yep. To give the opportunities to the linebackers to make the plays, make tackles. And obviously if you're a lineman, if you go from a 4-3 to a 3-4, you better not be that fourth lineman. otherwise you're going to lose a lot of playing time. But it's a lot better, which is good and bad for us it's bad in regard that there's so much information now. We're almost posting so much news about, you know, all these moves and all these practices that there's we have to really be judicious in terms of getting the rest of our information out. It's good in the fact that there's so much now information out there that it's much easier than it was, like, say, 10 years ago to track a defensive player. A lot of times back in the 90s and the early 2000s, you had to go more on the statistics from last year. And if a player changed teams, you were just kind of throwing a dart at a dartboard to see, well, I think he might get these amount of tackles, you know, because it depends. You might not even know what kind of scheme they were in because, you know, it's just the information, it wasn't out there and wasn't as plentiful as it is now.
And the sophistication of the information, you know, it's like, it's one thing to talk about stuff and it's another thing to talk about stuff at a deep level. And so,
yeah, and we all know about that, Mr. Humra, whatever. we've gotten so deep in that, you know, Espen is going around, all right, you play him, you play Ted Thompson, you play Mike McCarthy, and then what? Okay, go. what? I don't understand why they do that. I mean, it's all guesswork, but I guess they got to fill time, right?
Yep. That's what happens when you have a 24/7 sports station.
All right. Well, before we get to individual players, let's take a look at team defenses. This is more for the standard leagues. The standard leagues where you get an entire defense and you get points for interceptions and fumbles. And if the special teams returns a kick for a touchdown, that's how this works. And we're going to take a look at NAS's top teams, defensive special teams. NAS, why don't you take us with your number one team?
Well, first of all, before I get into that, basically most performance league score rules like this on the defenses, that you get like a point per sack, 2 points for a turnover, you know, an interception or a fumble recovery, and 6 points for a return score. Most, I believe, systems out there do include like a kick return being a defensive score. Some systems might also give those 6 points to the player. So hopefully you've got Devin Hester in there in that league, then he's worth a little bit more. But in a system like this, and also a lot of leagues out there give like a scoring gradient down from like maybe if they throw a shutout, you'll get 10 points. 1 to 5 points allowed, maybe 8, 6 to 10, maybe 6, maybe 11 to 13, 4, and so it gets down to a 0. And you can also do the negative scores, where I've seen where you give up 25, 30 points, and then you're losing 4, 6 points.
Yep.
But in a system based like that, I think San Diego defense right now is the consensus number one just about across the board. They've got so much talent, and they've got the playmaker, Sean Merriman, and they've got Castillo and several other defensive linemen that can make the big plays. And their schedule is just so favorable. The first five games, they play a lot of weak teams. They basically have, I believe, I'm trying to go this from memory, they have five tough games. I think they played the Colts, the Steelers, the Patriots, and a couple other teams. I know that their last three games of the season, if you count 14, 15, and 16, are against Oakland, Kansas City, and Tampa Bay. And, depending on certain player gets traded to Tampa Bay, if he doesn't, then you're looking at a pretty good matchup there too. And I believe two of those three games are at home too. So
you're looking at a lot of interceptions if he gets traded to a certain team.
That's right. And the schedule and the talent of the team, they're just a ball hawking team, and they make a lot of big plays, a lot of big interceptions. I can't remember the guy's name. It just escapes me right now. But he had like what, four picks against
Cromartie?
The Colts.
Cromartie,
yes, Cromartie,
Antonio Cromartie, yeah. Taker Trell's on there. Luis Castillo.
All over the field. This is a team that's not only going to consistently score you probably 5 to 10 points on a system like that, but they can also blow up and score 20, 25 points, and that's going to be a major difference maker.
Our standard scoring, just the last three games last year, 19 points, 17 points, 19 points.
There you go.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
And then when Sean Merriman was out, it was -1, -2, and 2 points in the first few weeks of the season when he was serving his suspension. So that's very interesting. I mean, it can swing that much, and it can be a difference maker in the game.
All right. Mm-hmm. Next, your number two team starting the second tier, you have the Minnesota Vikings. Wow, they've come about, haven't they?
Yes. Well, the trade for Jared Allen, I mean, in the system that they got in the Williams, I like to call them the Williams brothers, what, Pat Williams and the other guy.
Kevin Williams.
I have to kind of scramble here at the names, guys, because this
no, it's okay.
Is really
Kevin
the area.
And Pat.
my niece's area. And but I do agree with a lot of his rankings. And, you know, since I end up posting a lot of the news and stuff, everything kind of flows in and out. But the their schedule is also a favorable one. Now, they do have, you know, of course, well, it might even get better if a certain player is not playing against them in that division.
Or is playing for them.
That's right. And they also make big plays. You know, they, whether they pick up a fumble, run it back, block a punt, return a kick, you know, intercept a pass, score. So they score a lot on defense.
Yeah, I'm actually a little sad you have them up so high. I was targeting Minnesota this year. I targeted them last year. Last year they weren't up as high. I saw them in the preseason. In the preseason last year, they returned 7 interceptions or fumble recoveries for touchdowns, and that was in the preseason.
Wow.
I said, I need to get this team, and they were basically my defensive team all last year and got me tons of points. So I expect them to do the same this year, except that I may not be willing to pay as much as
you're not as fortunate this year. But you're not the only person that said that to me. I had a lot of people because we start. In fact, I'm working on my sleepers update right now. I'm making comments on all of about close to 50 sleepers across the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. In different categories. I'm also adding a few and taking a few back, and often get subscribers coming to me. Now, what, Mike, why did you have to add that guy? I was targeting this guy. Yeah. Now a lot of guys in my league read your information and subscribe, and now they're going to know. So I'm not going to be able to wait as long to get that guy. Why did you do that? Pierre Thomas was a good sample of good.
How about Ryan
that,
Terrain in Denver?
Yeah, Terrain.
I wish I had had my draft 2 weeks ago, because I would have taken him and nobody would have known who he was. They're like, we don't even have a little card for him to put up on our board.
Oh,
it's like, well, you're going to write him in, because trust me, you'll know who he is by the end of the season.
All right, after the Vikings, you have the New England Patriots. Aren't they getting old?
Yeah. Haven't they been getting old?
They're getting a little old, but their schedule this year is, I mean, there's any other way to say it, but it's powder puff. I mean, they play, I don't know how this happened, too, because they had the best record in the league last year, but they hardly play any good teams at all.
Cupcakes!
They're going to make a lot of plays this year.
It's a soft schedule.
Powder puff! I'm sorry. No, okay.
Pretty weenie. And here's the fact. I don't want anyone out there yelling at their iPods going, these guys are idiots. The schedules are all done ahead of time,
yes,
and that there's a formula to it.
Yes, we know
that. And so don't let anybody go and tell you that the Patriots have it in with the office in New York. No, and
We know the schedules
but
I made
is,
earlier.
It is the irony of it still blows us out of the water.
All right, I'm sorry. So, no, Mike, just one question for you. Isn't the linebacking core for this team just getting a little bit older? And are they going to – I think they were exposed in the Super Bowl by the Giants late in that game in the fourth quarter. The Giants kind of took advantage of the age of that linebacking core. Is that any concern for the Patriots?
Oh, I think it is. Bruschi is getting older. And then, of course, Junior Seau, now he's just kind of sitting out there. Is he retired for good? Are they going to re-sign him? I think it really kind of depends on how things look as the preseason progresses here. But they're a veteran club. They know that scheme inside and out. They can still get the job done most weeks. They will have some lapses here or there. There'll be some games. I think when they play the Colts, they're going to have some problems.
No, play the Chargers and the Colts and Seattle, those kinds of teams.
Does anybody have their Patriots schedule up for the weeks 13, 14, 15, 16?
I'll pull it for you while you talk.
Yeah, because here's my concern with the Patriots. They have their bye week, week 4, which is one of the earlier bye weeks. And later on in the season, when those weeks 13, 14, 15, 16, those are the important ones.
Okay, here we go.
When most of the playoffs are happening in fantasy football, is that defense going to be so tired and so winded late in the season?
They've got a couple of very difficult games. Week 13, they host Pittsburgh, which is very physical.
That's going to be tough.
And then week 14, they travel across the country to Seattle.
Okay.
Where they'll get the crap beaten out of them. They may not lose the game, but they will get beaten up.
15 and 16 are sweet.
But then 15 and 16, you got to love for your playoffs. They're at Oakland, and then they host Arizona.
Okay,
I like Arizona's offense, but I tell you that team makes a lot of mistakes.
Yes,
especially on the road.
They're going to host Arizona.
Okay. So forget that whole theory that they're going to be week 16. They're playing Arizona. That's the team I'm targeting. All right.
Thanks. And we don't have anything about videotaping offensive signals.
That's true.
It was just simply defensive signals that were getting taped. Now, that defense is real.
Chargers, Vikings, Patriots. After that, who we got slated?
Well, Mike Neese and I differ a little bit on this. He's got Seattle ranked number 4, and I might have them just outside the top 5. They are a playmaking team, but they're they're more inconsistent. They can look dominating at home one week and shut out an opponent, and then go on the road and not have any sacks, no turnovers, and give up a ton of points and make no plays at all, and then it gets you big fat zero. Actually, I kind of like your team, Steven, the Dallas Cowboys. I think they've made a lot of good changes on the defense to improve it. Zach Thomas is certainly not going to hurt. Pac-Man Jones, golly, I mean, the guy's got so much talent. You know, it looks like he's got his head on straight. Do you call him Pac-Man this week or Adam?
No. He's asked to be called Adam. We call him Adam, but his teammates can call him Pac-Man.
That's right. Okay. And I've been consistent with this.
You're not in the trenches there with him, so you can't call him Pac-Man.
Yeah, you're not his friend, okay?
Let's call him Joust. Do you remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we're going to call him video, let's call him Joust. Joust Jones.
Love the sound effects, yeah.
I love it. Right, I dumped a lot of quarters
on
that.
So at 4, hang on.
I got a question about. Okay. I got a question about Adam Jones.
Yes.
Do we know for certain that he is out of the clear, in the clear legally?
September 1st is the final
court
day. The final day that the commissioner will either reinstate him for good or maybe stretch it out a bit longer.
Because someone came out today.
I think what the commissioner...
Did I hear that they were supposed to have a decision by late August on that?
September 1st is the date the commissioner has set for giving him the final reinstatement.
Okay, yeah. But
that's the Monday before the season starts.
I wasn't paying a lot of attention, but somebody came out today in regards to that case. Did that help or hurt him is my question.
Well, remember, this: the guy who came out today was the actual shooter.
Okay.
Okay?
Right. So a nice guy.
Of course he pled not guilty.
Yeah, of course.
It wasn't my gun.
Dude, they saw you. Yeah, they saw you with the gun.
I was holding it for a friend.
I was holding it for Pat. Pac-Man made me hold it.
So anyways, he says that what Jones is saying, that story is completely fabricated.
But you're talking about a murder.
We're now in the he said, she said thing.
He said, he said.
Yeah, that's
actually.
Right. He said, he said. And that's what it's going to come down to. But Pac-Man's not being charged with anything in this case. Okay? He was there who threw the money up in the air. Well, and even though that's not good.
It's not illegal.
He didn't shoot anybody. He wasn't holding a gun. He's not being charged.
They were saying he was inciting people to do that. Right. You know? Well, I mean, the simple act of throwing money up in the air, you know.
It's not a crime.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
When they need money, then people start going after the money. You say, hey, you grab that money, I'll kill you.
When I'm hard up for cash, I don't run to strip clubs.
That's what I'm going to do. Next time I need a loan, just run down to the strip club and wait for Pac-Man to throw the money up in the air.
I'm like, that is not the place you go to get money unless you're really good looking and like that kind of action.
Yeah, so
and hang on poles. That's the place where you lose money by sticking it in women's G-strings, right? Do I have this backwards?
So basically the attorney for this guy said that their entire case rests on a statement of Adam Jones, and you know, he pled not guilty. So there's still some investigation going to go on, but I don't think that he's in trouble for anything.
Okay, good enough. Because I think that's going
to
have a
huge... Basically, with Pac-Man, I think he has to keep... If he keeps his nose clean and isn't caught at any strip clubs between now and the start of September, you know, and the practices like he should and like he is right now, I think that they are going to reinstate him. But you can probably bet your butt that, you know, this is it. This is the last chance.
Yeah,
I think it's really cool that they're in Dallas, that people who have had troubled pasts like Terrell Owens and things seem to have taken him under their wings and said, you know what, here's how you stay out of trouble.
Yes.
Here's how you keep your mouth shut, as I've learned the hard way. You know, and Dallas is full of guys like that, and I think that's cool that they kind of try and take care of each other.
Well, and their organization is first rate at actually providing counselors. And Calvin Hill, who is an ex-football player.
Rehabbing people
and just turning them into good guys. The Cobbins organization is really good at doing that. All right, let's move on. And then who do you got after? So we got Chargers, Vikings, Patriots, Cowboys, Seahawks, and then to wrap it up, one more team here. Who are we looking at?
Jacksonville. They've got a lot of talent there. Their schedule is fairly simple.
I need to annoy Jeff real quickly. Jaguars. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, no, I like the Jaguars. I think they've made some nice additions and improvements to their defense. You take it away.
And the good thing about them also is that they also play really good defense against the good teams. Remember the, 3-0 game against Pittsburgh there?
Yeah. So, I mean, they made them look bad.
Especially at home against the better teams. They'll surprise you too. So just because they might have a tougher matchup, don't count them out and think that they're not going to produce.
They consistently hold the Colts to 10, 13, yes. 16 points.
That's right.
The Colts every week are putting up 28, 40. 30, and then they get to Jacksonville, and they can only muster 13 points. They win the game 13-10.
Dave Manning just wants to get out of town with a win.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So,
he's like, I don't care about my stats this week.
This defensive team is definitely one. I've been on the Jacksonville Jaguars for going with these two rookie defensive guys that they kind of basically sold the farm for to get in the draft. But if they can come in and apply the pressure to the quarterbacks that Jacksonville is hoping they can get from them, this team's going to be pretty special because their secondary is already set.
That's what I've been saying. That's why I'm their fan this year.
Yeah, but you're already causing injuries there in camp. So
now
the Jeff curse.
Now, the Madden curse, by the way, I need to point out to everybody, is alive and well.
Well, yeah, it's getting a guy basically held hostage by a team. Way to go, Madden curse.
I think the Madden curse has gotten so bad that it's hurting America.
No, I think the Madden curse
is
hurting
America.
The Green Bay Packers are not letting Brett back on the field.
Oh,
they're
so,
saving him from the curse.
So Coach McCarthy's terrified for Brett. He loves Brett so much that if he lets him play, he knows he'll die because he's on the cover of Madden.
He'll get hit and may not recover.
Ah, wow, what a giver. Give, never take, always give.
All right, let's move to the individual players, also known as IDPs.
Or IDIP.
IDIP leagues. And we're going to start with the defensive linemen. These are the big guys up front, interior linemen, defensive ends. These guys apply the pressure, get the sacks.
Kill the quarterback.
Get the tackles. And we're going to start off, give us the top three.
A couple sleepers.
Defensive linemen and a sleeper, sure. Let's start off with a couple top guys.
Okay.
Of course, Mario Williams, you know, remember him, he was the drafted number one a couple years ago, and is he really worth it? Well, he came out of nowhere last year, you know, and turned it around, and now he's a big sack master there.
And Reggie Bush?
That's right, and we've got Williams here, number one.
All right, Mario Williams, and he, for his rookie season, it was absolutely horrible.
He was really useless.
He's really come up and kind of come into his own here.
We also like Jared Allen. I agree with Mike Neese on a lot of these things. He's the guy that plays in a lot of IDP leagues each year, and I'm going to be running a team with him in SOFA IDP this year, so I'm kind of getting back into it too. I used to play in IDP leagues about 10 years ago, but basically you want guys, the linemen, big sack guys, and also, I mean, most of these guys don't get too many tackles, but you want guys that are involved in a lot of plays, so they'll get some assists and tackles, but also, you know, basically the sack master. You got Patrick Kearney in Seattle, Aaron Campman in Green Bay, and Trent Cole in Philadelphia.
All right. Wow, what happened to the freak? Did his name just come off the list? Javon Curse,
well, yeah, he's a good one when he was first time with Tennessee, and then, of course, they got rid of him, and he signed with Philadelphia, and he didn't work in
injured,
that system
right?
at all. Now he's come back to Tennessee, and, of course, he's saying, yeah, I'm ready to sack the guys again, you know, and everything, and So we'll see. I want to see because he's a lot older. You know, it's a different system, and you know, it's just
it's hard to sack people from a walker.
And he's
I mean, that's all there is to it.
He's been injury prone too. So
yes, he's also been injury prone. Yes, he has.
Throw one name out there, one sleeper
at defensive line that I agree with my niece on this, and of course it's my guy Justin Tuck made the big sack at the end of the game in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. You know, he's going to be replacing Strahan there, and you know, it's. I think he's going to make a lot of plays. He's going to surprise a lot of people. The Giants really want to show people that, you know, this was not a fluke. Now, I don't know if they can repeat, but, you know, I think they're going to be pretty darn good and that the defensive unit's not going to lose much there because they got so much depth.
All right, but Mike, with Justin Tuck, can he be a successful replacement to Michael Strahan, and will we see him in the double digits in sack-wise?
I think it's a good possibility that you will. But the good thing about this is that really he's got that potential since he hasn't done it yet. You know, so you can kind of, that's the definition of an IDP sleeper. You can kind of wait until later in your draft and not take him as your first or second defensive lineman, but you know, take him as a third or fourth later in the draft, and you got a lot of potential there. He's certainly going to have all the upturn in the world to do it.
Where do IDP players go in drafts typically? And do you have deeper drafts, or do they just, or do you have less bench players? How does that typically work?
You're going to have deeper drafts. Probably going to have the drafts that go 25. In fact, we had a subscriber IDP league that drafted online in our forum a couple weeks ago that went 30 rounds. That's a lot.
Holy cow!
Yeah, well, Jeff, think about it. You're going to have about 8 offensive starters and about 8 defensive starters.
Why don't you just have 7-on-7 drills and, you know, call it a day?
My only qualm with you, Mr. Naz, and you can tell this to Mike Neese.
Okay.
Where's my big guy, D. Ware?
Yeah, where's D. Ware?
Hello? DeMarcus Ware?
Hello?
Defensive end, Dallas Cowboys? The dude is a beast.
Sackmaster.
He's a beast. Had 13 sacks, Pro Bowler last year. He doesn't make top 5.
Well, you know, I guess he doesn't, and not according to Mike.
You know, the Dallas Cowboys sent 150 guys to the Pro Bowl last year.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. I just had to get a shout-out for my boy D. Ware there. Let's move on to the linebackers and give us a top 3 or 4 and give us a sleeper.
Okay. Let me start out with a sleeper here. Let's see.
Pages and hundreds of pages.
Well, you know, this is another New York guy, or actually a former New York guy, Jonathan Vilma. You know, he had a lot of success early on in his career in New York with the Jets. But he was a stud in the 4-3. They introduced the 3-4. You know, now he's went ahead and signed with the Saints, and I think he fits better in that system. There's also a question about his health. I believe it was a knee. But he's been practicing fine in with the new defensive players and scheme down in there in New Orleans, and they think he's going to be a big playmaker for him. So, you know, because of his recent issues where he's not really produced much, you're going to be able to get him a lot later in these drafts as a pretty good sleeper.
All right,
cool.
Now let's get to the top of the linebacking core. Obviously, D'Amico Ryans of Houston's got to be up there, right?
Yeah, Mike's got him number 2 right now. I believe he was number 1 on our list last year heading into the season. Now, you also got to remember, linebackers are the guys that make a crap load of tackles. And most of the leagues now give
points for tackles. Now, what I need to stop you. What animal is actually delivering this load? I mean, because that's going to have a big. I mean, are we talking a bull? Are we talking a small child?
We're gonna move
an anorexic?
On.
I mean, come on.
Continue, right. Mike.
Sorry.
Patrick Willis came out of nowhere as you know, I believe he was a rookie last year, right?
San Francisco,
with the 49ers, and you know, he just was off the charts, making tackles everywhere, making big plays, and we've got him number 1 this year. D'Amico Ryans number 2, DJ Williams Denver number 3, Nick Barnett and Green Bay is going to be all over the field too, and then David Harris, who's replacing Mr. Vilma there in New York with the Jets, is number 5 on Mike's list.
All right, there you go. That is the linebacking core, and we're going to end it up with some DBs, the defensive backs here. This includes not only cornerbacks but safeties as well, correct?
Yes. Before I get to the DBs, I know people are probably going to say, well, what about Urlacher? What about Ray Lewis? Those guys, well, we've got them 7 and 8 on the list here. So we're not forgetting them. They're just a little bit older. You know, Ray's a little bit getting a little bit long in the tooth there a little bit. And, of course, Urlacher now got his big, fat contract. I think they're still going to be, and I agree with Mike on this, he's still going to be big impact
he's
players.
He's still going to scare the crud out of people.
Yeah. When you talk, for the upper elite tiers of linebackers, you need a tackling machine, somebody that's going to tackle 110, 120, if not more, in an entire season. And I don't think Urlacher and Ray Lewis make that many tackles anymore. They make some big plays here and there, a little bit more inconsistent on that. But you look at the DBs, and Marcus Trufant in Seattle is just an incredible talent, makes a lot of plays all over the field. Also, Mike Neese, I got to support him in this. He likes Jabril Wilson, you know, my man from the Giants, and now he's in Oakland Raiders. So they think he's going to be making the plays there. We got him number two, Nate Clemens in San Francisco. That's another playmaker along with, you know, his teammate Patrick Willis is number one in linebacker. We got Clemens at number three. And of course, you can't go – we talk about the Chargers defense, Antonio Cromartie is all over the field making plays.
Always.
And making big interceptions and such. And then Antoine Winfield in Minnesota. He's a big playmaker too. Those are the top five.
All right. Once again, I'm a little sad that Terrence Newman isn't up there, but
we can't have all Cowboys.
Well,
all
he's
the time,
injured right? right now. So,
well, that's true. You do have a point. He is.
He'd be creeping right now.
He is. That's right. Creeping is what we like to call him here. Well, that's Mike Nazarek. Lots of information there. That IDP leagues. I don't know how you guys do it, and if you guys do it, good for you all.
Good luck.
Good luck.
And you're probably not listening to our show because you know so much more about everything than we do.
Well, and, so much more at least about the defensive side.
But, I mean, that's the thing. The guys I know who play this honestly have no interest in our show.
Right.
Because they live and breathe this. They wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they check the news. You know, I mean, they're crazy.
And, I don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't have a problem with that at all. But it is a very different animal, and it is almost like you have gone to the complete dark side of fantasy football. And because you've lost, I don't want to say I don't respect the people who play, because I do. And especially how knowledgeable they are. But they are crazed about this, and they take this so seriously that you almost wish they would get together and just go buy a team. You know, because, I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be drafting general managers, you know, and somehow finding out ways of scoring them and finding out that Matt Millen is, you know, the
32nd
GM.
Some leagues that's
there are leagues that draft coaches.
See?
And then
I didn't even know this.
You get a point for a win if your coach wins.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, see, I think I'm making stuff up, and I'm not, because that's the level that these guys want to take it to. They need to go get money and go buy a team.
Well, I hear the
Green
Bay
Packers.
Okay,
now I got a question for you.
Yeah,
if a certain player that shall not be named, if he played fantasy football and they did draft general managers, do you think that Ted Thompson would be on his list?
No.
No.
I
well,
doubt
it depends.
It,
it's all about, is it all about winning, or is it someone that you can trust?
Well, apparently, I don't think it is at this point. I think it's about moving on. That's the key word that they keep using, and that's the problem here. I think that they're just not willing, both sides, to forgive and go, listen, it only makes sense for us to merge together at least one more year here and see if we can win the whole darn thing, and then you actually officially retire for good with a brand-new Super Bowl ring on your finger, and everybody gets extensions, you know, whatever, and then Favre gets his little $25 million retirement contract on the side, but that's not going to happen.
I want to leave us with this profound piece of wisdom that a friend once gave me. You can't polish a turd.
Okay,
and so that is the situation there in Green Bay right now. And someone keeps trying to everyone hopes Commissioner Goodell, notice I even gave him respect there, and Coach Mike McCarthy, everybody hopes that somehow there's some magical answer that will fix this. You can't.
The magical answer is you want to
release
move
him.
On. He wants to play.
Release
you
him.
You don't want him to play for you. Release him.
That's right. That is the answer.
Everybody gets what they want.
Well, except for the bummed out people of Green Bay that are wearing their number four jerseys and crying in their coffee, but life goes on.
You are, hey, you know, all the shareholders who've got share in the Green Bay, that or, you know, make a stand.
They had the shareholders meeting on already. That was already scheduled.
Make a stand.
Boy, the timing of it couldn't have been worse last week.
There you go.
So you can't polish a turd. Remember that, friends.
Michael Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind. Check him out at ffmastermind.com. Mike, thanks you for coming on. We appreciate it greatly.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, it's always a pleasure, guys, and especially when we got such great topics to talk about, although I would like to kind of move on myself from talking about this.
I think that's Brett's final comment to Susie Kohlberg as he left the field was something to the effect of, I'm moving on.
There he is. He's moving on, and he got in his very nice red SUV and
red
drove
Cadillac
away.
Escalade. Oh, man, that thing looks sweet.
Naz, you have a great night.
You too. You guys, too, have a good one, and we'll talk next week.
Keep on writing. I tell him keep on writing because, man, that's all he does.
He's a writer. That's what he does.
But, I mean, did you hear him actually paging through the volume?
Yes.
The tome?
He had.
What? I mean, God. The fact he told me today, we talked on the phone today, and mind you think that we go long sometimes on this?
Yes.
A phone call with, well, you buzzed in.
Yes.
Steven buzzed in.
You didn't even take my call.
I did take your call eventually.
For 30 seconds, not even that, 10 seconds.
Anytime Mike and I get on the phone together, it is minimum of 45 minutes.
But you get, it's great information.
It's
great information.
Well, and we just, the tangents we get off on and digressions, and it's hysterical. But what he was doing today, he had 50 guys that he was writing stuff on today.
All his sleepers.
His sleepers.
Yes.
He was writing basically his justification for his sleepers. And he wanted to make sure, like a philosophical argument, that he could go and build a case. This is why this guy is a legitimate sleeper, and you should consider taking him in the late rounds of your draft and things like that. And it's just, it's gold.
All right.
It's fantasy gold. I've stopped doing homework a lot of times and just fall back on Naz because we got too many leagues, man. As we said, we're doing 12 this
leagues.
Year. So I'm in 9 RARN leagues.
Yes.
And I'm going to be in the one money league with you.
Yes. It'll be nice taking your money.
Dude, I've gone from one team to 4 to 10.
Nice. Jeff's become a monster, people. Just like I knew he would.
Come to the dark side.
All right, Jeff. IDPs, defensive special teams. We got a lot of good information for you today. Make sure you use it. Make sure you learn from our knowledge and the knowledge
and
of the
mistakes.
Mastermind, Mike Nazarek. We appreciate him coming on the show. Jeffrey, that's all I've got here today. I don't know. Maybe next year we'll try an IDP league or so.
I don't want to.
There you go. He doesn't want to.
But wait, before we go, yes. I have to check. No change in he who must not be named status.
There you go.
Since it's a minute-by-minute story, we had to check before leaving the air.
All right, hold on 1 second. Check one more time.
Hit refresh?
Yep.
Okay, I'm hitting refresh. And nope.
All right, there you go.
Same as it was.
Well, that's all the time we've got. This has been Steven Miranda.
And Jeff Fellis.
For Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. Good night.